Please pray with me. May the words of my mouth and the meditation of all our hearts be always acceptable in thy sight. O Lord, our strength and our Redeemer. Amen. It's St. Luke the Evangelist's feast eve today. St. Luke, in other words, the writer of the Gospel according to Luke and the Acts of the Apostles. This person, this saint, wrote a full quarter of the New Testament. And his contribution to our Bible is a kind of general history of Christianity in two loosely connected monographs. It's very interesting. You can just go to any part of Luke or Acts, just drop right in, and there'll be these self-contained interludes, little scenes that you can draw from, whether you've read the whole thing or not, in these two books. The first historian of Christianity shows us that the story of Jesus's life and ministry and the founding of the church, these should be considered together. Luke is committed to manifesting the ministry of Christ to those who are separated both geographically and temporally in space and time from Jesus during his ministry. And he was writing to young Christians who may not have been there at the time, like young Theophilus. They weren't eyewitnesses or contemporaries, like Luke was, of all these pivotal early days. Not only was he writing to them, he was writing to us. And he was writing to people 2,000 years from now. And for that solemn purpose, Luke took a great deal of effort to make it clear that this was not a collection of legends or pious fables, but a faith that was grounded in history, a history made up of events, journeys, shipwrecks, and sacrifices. Our faith is grounded in a story that happened, a history that is still happening in us and through us, working out our salvation. You know, in the early days, many Christians believed that history was soon to come to an end. The technical term for that is parousia, that Christ was coming within their lifetimes to merge heaven and earth and set things right. But when this didn't happen in short order, it was people like Luke the Evangelist who spoke of the time of the church as something that would last indefinitely until that end. His history is, in a way, a pastoral history for perhaps a disappointed people, showing us toward a path of hope, pointing out that we are part of an age of the Holy Spirit, one of hope and expectation, when the work of Christ continues and endures until Christ comes in his fullness. The most we know about Luke is what we find in the two books he wrote for us and some parts where he appears in various letters. To say much more is to speculate. We believe that Luke was born in Syria and that he may have been not only a physician but also an emancipated slave. That would have been a role assigned to such a person, the training given to such a person. His full name, Lucanus, could be translated to be born at dawn or dawn born. He was a child of the light. He was not one of the 12 disciples, remember, but he could have been among one of the 70 disciples that Jesus called during his ministry to go out two by two into the land of Galilee. Some assert that he was one of the unnamed disciples that was with the resurrected Jesus on the road to Emmaus. But we do know that he was a fellow traveler with the Apostle Paul all over the Mediterranean world, even being present with Paul during his imprisonment in Rome before Paul's execution. And we don't know much more about what happened to Luke after that. There are at least three bodies that came to be said to be his, that were revered as relics, each with their own history. In iconography, we have an example of Luke in our reredos, Let me see if I can help you see where he is. If you look at the cross, and then you move down to where the chalice is under the cross, and then you follow from the chalice all the way, significantly to the right, past one figure, that's Peter. He's looking, he has a profile. And then the next person who's holding out a scroll, do you see that? A scroll that's in shadow? He's holding it up. That's his gospel, and that's St. Luke. Now, because it's in shadow, you can't see what's on that scroll, where he was reputed not only to be a physician or an emancipated slave, but also a painter. And there were some pieces that were reputed to have been of him, some portraits of the Virgin Mary and the Christ child. And so on this scroll of the gospel, we have carved, Lee Lowry carved for us, an image of Our Lady and the Christ child, to speak of that iconographic heritage. He's also presented as an ox with wings in iconography. And this is one of the four beasts that the prophet Ezekiel envisioned living around the throne of God in heaven. And we, after Christ, have affixed these beasts to the understanding of each of the four gospels. One has a winged man, one has a winged lion, the other has a winged eagle, which has wings all the time, and then Luke has the winged ox. And we think that this is because Luke finds great significance in the sacrifice of Christ, what that did to the world, what that gave to the world. And so his animal is a sacrificial animal that we put wings upon to signify its holiness. Luke's work, his books, are of a piece with what the prophet Isaiah foretold about God's Messiah. The Lord has bared his holy arm before the eyes of all the nations, and all the ends of the earth shall see the salvation of God. Luke taught us that the sacrifice of Christ was not just for his own people, who knew sacrifice so well because of their work with the temple, his own people, the Jews, but this sacrifice was intended for the whole world, for every people out there, even the Romans. His great work of art of the gospel and the Acts of the Apostles, it starts from Christ's journey from Nazareth to Jerusalem, and then the next book leads from Jerusalem, the holy city, and following the movement of the gospel and the church all the way to Rome, another sort of lion's den of the empire. And the arrival of the gospel there, at great cost in Rome, is the breakthrough moment of the Christ event after the resurrection for Luke. Because if Jerusalem was the center of the Jewish world, God's world, Rome was the center of the Gentile world, the world we fashion for ourselves, the world that we're surrounded by gods that we made. And these two worlds would become intertwined like never before, thanks to Jesus of Nazareth, thanks to his suffering and his sacrifice. And because of all that, it's not a parochial concern, but one of global consequence, beyond the chosen people, beyond the promised land. And in ending his account of this extraordinary time with the establishment of the church in Rome, Luke sets the stage that contains the world for even more history to unfold and for more time to take place under which salvation can occur. And it seems that all peoples are now the people of God. All people are now chosen. Even the Romans who killed the Lord of life, they are a part of this mercy that boggles the spirit, this history that undergirds everything until the end of time. In Luke's vision of the gospel of Christ, the entire world is now the staging ground for the work of God, this plot of land included. And so tonight we say thank you to God for his work of art that has drawn us in to the history of our salvation. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.